I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 27, with God's word before us. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. We will be looking at Hebrews 9, but first of all, Matthew chapter 27. Let's seek God in prayer. Father in heaven, we do commit to thee the family that have been bereaved, and we pray that you'll draw near to the Graham family, watch over and comfort, help, and strengthen. We pray that thine arms will be around them and the word of God will be their stay and their comfort. And we pray that as we look into thy word now, help will be given to us. May it be a comfort to our own heart and encouragement to us as we look into the page of Scripture. Help us now, fill me with thy Holy Spirit and grant power with which to serve thee. We ask all of these things in the name of Christ, the Lord, our Savior. Amen. Amen. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, as the Lord Jesus Christ gives up the ghost upon the cross, we are told in verse 51, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of saints which slept arose. I want to speak to you upon the subject, no more veil. You will understand from the readings that we have taken from the Scripture that in the Old Testament sanctuary, in front of the Holy of Holies, there was a veil. Inside lay the mercy seat. And it was there that God met, but only with the high priest. That area was closed to all except him. In the book of Leviticus, we learn that the high priest, as he entered, he did so and must do so carefully and reverently. He was not to come at all times, but once a year. In Leviticus 16, we learn also that he was to wash his flesh in water. And there was to be no man in the tabernacle as he entered in. What was the word of God signifying by all of this? When we think of that veil through which the high priest would enter once a year, we learn in the book of Hebrews that that veil showed, let me read to you verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 9, the Holy Ghost, this signifying. So take note of these words. The tabernacle was a type. It illustrated great truth. And this veil is illustrating a great truth. And the Holy Ghost is signifying something by this veil. That the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. So therefore, when we come to the cross, and the Lord Jesus Christ, as he dies upon the cross at that moment, we are told in Matthew chapter 27 that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top, signifying this is a work of God. That veil that closed off, if you like, the Holy of Holies, except to the high priest once a year. That veil that closed that area off was torn, rent from top to bottom at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Showing us that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ had a momentous matter in it. We know that that tabernacle illustrated the way to God. Acceptance with God. What did the high priest do when he entered in? In verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 9, we learn that he went with blood and he offered it for himself and for the errors of the people. It was therefore through that work that reconciliation was made between the people and God. Therefore, that veil signifies, as it is rent, that the Lord Jesus Christ has now accomplished forever the great work of reconciling sinners unto God. Now, let me point out something quickly in relation to that veil. First of all, that veil showed, therefore, that there was a block. There was that which kept man back from the presence of God. If you think of that veil, every year the high priest entered from the beginning of this tabernacle erected, every year, once a year, he went in. We come to Solomon's temple. We learn that 480 years after them coming out of Egypt, the temple was built. So all of that time, every year, the high priest went in. From Solomon's time, almost 1,000 years, until the time that we're now reading, every year, the high priest would enter in. And I'm giving a rough guesstimate here, but let us talk about almost 1,500 years. For 1,500 years, every year, the high priest went in. And yet, in verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 9, it says this: that veil being a figure for the time then present, there were gifts, sacrifices offered that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. So all that went on every year, the high priest entering in through that veil, the fact that there was a veil there at all showed that all these sacrifices, they were pointing to something else, someone else. In and of themselves, they could not make the offerer perfect pertaining to the conscience. And yet here we now stand at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll speak of his resurrection later on. But the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, this veil is rent to show to us that as the Lord Jesus Christ comes before God and he offers himself as the sacrifice for sin, there is now no more veil. Because that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is all sufficient. It is completely rent. It says in Matthew, it was rent from the top to the bottom, to show that it is now entirely taken away. So we mention those things, first of all, to show to you what that veil illustrated. All of those sacrifices in the Old Testament, they were but pointers to the person now of the Lord Jesus Christ who has come. The second thing to notice is that this rent veil now shows that there is access to God. Access to God. I want you to notice a few things from the Word of God in relation to even what the book of Hebrews teaches us now and in relation to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look with me at chapter 10, and we read this passage, verse 19, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." If we take all these things together, let's go back to chapter 9 and verse 11. "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." So whenever we think of why this veil is rent, what we're seeing is that which it illustrated, that there was a block, if you like, to the way to God, now it's been removed, and it has now been removed through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the Word of God says in verse 20 of Hebrews chapter 10, "By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, his flesh. So now as Christ dies, and he offers himself and his blood as the atonement for sin, what is now being signified here by this rent veil is that the way to God has now been made. And it is through Jesus Christ. Now we're going to come to the implications of this momentarily, but please bear with me. Establishing certain fundamental facts and truths. All who come, therefore, through Jesus Christ, find the way to God and find acceptance with God. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, let me quote these words again. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." So here is a soul, and this soul is coming unto God. And how is it coming unto God? It is coming to God through Jesus Christ. And what he has accomplished upon the cross of Calvary. And what is there here? Acceptance with God. All through Jesus Christ. Notice what the language in verse 22 is like in Hebrews 10. "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." So whenever I think of my standing with God, here I am sinful, I have nothing to bring to God, I have not one thought, I have not one deed, not one action that I can present before God and say, there's a payment that atones for my sin. I have nothing, but I have to rest entirely and absolutely upon that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he has accomplished. And that it is accomplished is signified by the fact that there's a rent veil. And thus in Jesus Christ I have acceptance with God. I am heard. Do you see what it says here? "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Here we have boldness to enter before God, and we have acceptance. And we are assured that here through Jesus Christ, we can come to the throne of grace. I think of the words of the book of Hebrews earlier on. "Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." This veil, rent, is signifying great things now for us. There's acceptance with God. We have the ear of heaven. It is an access for all in this sense. It is not just for the Jew. It is for the Gentile. It is so that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here is a redemption which Christ has purchased. Here is an access, a way to God that all may enter. Now, let me apply some of this. First thing, for God's people, there ought to be great assurance in our heart here. In fact, the Word of God uses that language in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. I wonder today, have we those in our midst? And I know that many of God's people go through periods of doubt. It's something we struggle with. There are those times when I doubt. And I think even earlier in my Christian life, I went through great periods wondering about my conversion. Wondering about, was I truly right with God? But whatever period of time we are in our Christian life, if those doubts come to us, where should you go? Well, you should go back to the Word of God. And you should go back to passages such as this that remind you that the work of Jesus Christ has been accomplished for your soul. And it's been signified. Signified in that this veil is now rent to show to you that Christ's work on the cross, His shedding of His precious blood, that God has accepted that work. And now there is this access, as the Bible speaks here in Hebrews chapter 9, full assurance in your heart and in your soul. If you've come struggling with doubt, take your eye and look towards Jesus Christ, to His finished work. Think on what the Savior has accomplished for your heart and for your soul. Think of that atoning sacrifice. We're told here that by this new and living way, He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, a way to God. Therefore, draw nigh with a true heart and full assurance. Another area, of course, this becomes a great matter of application is the area of prayer. I come before God. How do I know I have the ear of heaven? The devil will fill your head and fill your heart with the memory of all your sins. I know what that is like. It throws up an awful barrier as we come to seek the face of God. The more we think of what we are, the more we think of our unworthiness, the more we realize, how can we come before God? In light of His holiness, in light of what He says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. But I am not in the presence of God because of what I am. This does not lead us into a careless life that we do whatever we like. No, the life of Christ reminds us we are to have a holy life. But we are so conscious of our sins. But as I think of myself in the presence of God, seeking the face of God, how can I be there at all? because Christ has opened up a new and living way for me. Through his death, through what he has done, I have access to God. The Word of God reminds us here that we have boldness. Boldness in terms of assurance in our soul that we are the child of God. Boldness in terms of coming before God and appearing before his face at the throne of grace in prayer. Can I ask you, as a child of God, have you laid hold on this matter? What place is prayer in our life? What place has seeking the face of God? Has it a real place? It ought to have. Christ has opened up this way for us into the presence of God and the courts of God, that we might be heard all through him. Our prayer times should be often. The house of prayer should be full. I listened to somebody praying earlier, and they were thinking of past days and thinking of days when the prayer house of the meeting place was full. Not so full today. Have we lost sight of what we are, who we are, the rights that we have to be in the presence of God, the privileges that we enjoy to be in the presence of God through Christ, through him? Do you notice what it says in verse 23? Again, this is drawing, as it were, application of this truth. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, our hope, without wavering. These are days of wavering, aren't they? These are days of drifting along. We see it so often in Christian life. These are days of error. These are days when the things of God oftentimes are not thought upon. In many ways, they're set aside. But do you see what's happening here? Here are truths to take hold of as a child of God. Grasp with the heart and with the soul. Oh, that we had eyes to see them. Oh, that we had faith that laid hold on Jesus Christ and all that he is for us. What would happen? Then we would, as the scripture says, hold fast the profession of our hope. That is, taking hold of it. We would know it in our heart and in our soul. These would be things of rejoicing to us. Notice there's a follow on if you go down through the passage. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Isn't it interesting that a very practical matter of attending the house of God is linked here with this great truth of our position in Jesus Christ? Why do God's people neglect the house of God? Because they neglect Christ. Because we forget what Christ has accomplished and what Christ has wrought for us. When we think of this rent veil, remember what it's signifying. We are in Christ accepted. Can I say a word to those who are unsaved? There is a way to God. That way is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. But can I encourage you? For there are some that maybe feel this way I can never enter. Perhaps because of time, perhaps because of some instance in life, you say, no, it's not for me. No, no. This is a new and living way opened up by the Lord Jesus Christ for all who will enter. If you today were to come by faith to Jesus Christ, you would know this divine acceptance. You say, you don't know what I have done. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Here is a sufficient ground for you to stand upon, to be right with God. Would you not make today the day when you cry to Jesus Christ that you might be accepted with God? If you die as you are, you're going to go to hell. But come to Jesus Christ. Here's a new and living way, signified for you, proved to you by that rent veil. Can I just draw from what we learn in Matthew chapter 27? What happened when this veil rent? It says the bodies of the saints arose. It seems to be brought in there from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Spirit of God is bringing that matter now into this event of the rent veil, because it speaks of these saints arising and showing themselves after his resurrection. But be that as it may, the fact is that the veil rent is linked with the rising again of these saints. Now, let me point out something. The Word of God says, if we have this hope, this gospel, in this life only, Paul mentions that, we are of all men most miserable. But do you see that rent veil? It signifies not only is the way to God open, but it signifies that we have in Christ the way to God forever. Reminding us that there's a day coming when there shall be a resurrection. Christ rose again from the dead. Likewise, all who are in Christ will rise again from the dead. What a wonderful truth. Often the Word of God brings that to our attention that we might comfort ourselves in it, knowing that we don't have hope only in this life. We have eternal life. If all we had was a salvation which was for this world, what would be the point of it? No, that's why Paul said we would be of all men most miserable. But we have eternal life. And that's illustrated here by this rent veil, showing to us that once we are brought into the presence of God, then we have the prospect, promise of eternal life forever. We oftentimes wonder about how long we have left upon this scene of time. Does it really matter? The fact is that the day of our death is the day when our soul will enter into glory, and then the day will come when our body will rise again gloriously to be given a body like unto Christ's glorious body. That's the prospect of the child of God. Are you living in the reality of these things? Am I living in the reality of them? May God fill our heart with a sense of joy and gladness of all that we have in Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, if you have not yet come this new and living way through Jesus Christ to know his saving work in your soul, sins pardoned through his precious blood, today, hearing his voice, don't harden your heart. Come. Come to Jesus Christ that you might live. May God bless our thoughts upon his word here today. We'll bow together in prayer and we'll close our meeting. Our Father in heaven, we thank the Lord for thy word. And yet, Lord, we pray for faith to seize hold upon it. We thank thee for that new and living way that that the Saviour has opened for us. We pray that every child of God today, that our heart will be strengthened, heart will be helped. And Lord, here today, we will know the great grace of God as we ponder over these truths. Make them a real blessing to our soul, an encouragement to us. We pray, Lord, that they will have an effect in our prayer life, in our attendance at the house of God, in our worship and our praise, in our walk with Thee. Do be with us today. Bless Thy word to our heart and our soul. We pray that You'll minister to every heart yet not saved. Bring them to know the Lord Jesus. May this be the day of their conversion. Put Thy hand of blessing upon us now and bring us to our home in safety. May the blessing of the Triune God rest, remain, and abide upon us. In Jesus' name, our Saviour, our Lord, we ask all of these things. Amen.